Thank you. Well, good morning. It is wonderful to have each and every one of you here. I am honored by your presence. And on Easter Sunday, we traditionally say, Christ has risen. And your response is supposed to be, He is risen indeed, right? We'll try that again, all right? He is risen indeed is what you're supposed to say. Christ is risen? All right. That's tradition, right? So we need to do that. Just want to thank you on this Happy Resurrection Day. Somebody actually emailed me that this morning to remind me of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We begin our service by singing the doxology, which is found in the red hymnal, number 549. Number 549, the doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Our call to worship is hymn number 687. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries, in the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Amen. Our first hymn this morning is number 303, I Serve a Risen Savior. Hymn number 303, I Serve a Risen Savior.
Long life narrow way. He lives,
Amen. Let us go before the Lord in prayer. Our gracious God, Lord, we just want to thank you for this happy Resurrection Day, this day in which we just come and just want to say we are so thankful that our sins have been forgiven. And Lord, we praise you for that. And we do not take that for granted, and we do not take that in vain. And Lord, help us to live the life that you want us to live as we have embraced that forgiveness, to live in that freedom in which you want us to live. God, we come before you with the needs and requests that we have in our lives. Lord, you know of the challenges that we're facing, the things that we're trying to overcome. And Lord, not only do we think and pray about ourselves, but Lord, we also think and pray about our family members, our friends, about the staff that is working here today at the medical center, of the patients that are here, of the family members that will be visiting. And Lord, we just lift them all up to you in prayer. And God, we wish them a very special blessing on this Easter Sunday, because they should rejoice and be full of joy because of the resurrection of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords that should be on the throne of our lives. And God, we just once again praise you for that, and we ask that you would bless them accordingly, and you would remind them always of the presence of your Holy Spirit, that you are with them in all of the circumstances that they are facing, in all the trials that they have, the things that they are trying to understand, the things that they are trying to come to terms with, as they desire, as we desire, to follow your will for our lives. And Lord, we just want to say praise and thank you for this time of worship in this chapel. And we are so thankful that you taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Thank you for praying with me this morning. Our next hymn is number 319, Christ the Lord is Risen Today. 319, Christ the Lord is Risen Today. Following our exalted head, stand with me this morning. Our scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, beginning with verse 5. But the angel told the women, "Don't be afraid, because I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been resurrected just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples. He has been raised from the dead. In fact, he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Listen, I have told you. So departing quickly from the tomb, with fear and great joy, they ran to his disciples and told them the news. Just then, Jesus met them and said, 'Good morning.' They came up, took hold of his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus told them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there.'" Amen. Let us pray. God, we are so thankful, Lord, that you've just brought us here. And God, we sense your presence. We sense your purpose. And Lord, I would just ask that you would help me say the things that we all need to hear to have that purpose made clear in our lives. Help me now, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen. Now, the title of my sermon this morning is Happy Ending. But then there is a question that I had as I was thinking about it this morning. Should it be a happy beginning? And I guess it depends how you want to see the account and the story of Christ's death and then Christ's resurrection. So I put that question to myself, and I push that question to you on this Resurrection Sunday, in which we should be rejoicing because Christ has risen indeed. Is it a happy ending or is it a happy beginning? And it all depends with what we do with what Christ did for us on the cross and what it represents to you and to me. The crucifixion and the death and the burial and the resurrection of Christ should mean to you and I forgiveness. So is forgiveness something in which we have a happy ending to it or a happy beginning? What do we do with forgiveness? Do we embrace it? Do we make it a part of our lives? Is it something that we cherish? Is it something that we recognize for the liberty and the freedom and the grace that it gives us to what Christ has done for us? And I think a lot of times when we look at forgiveness, and we've talked about forgiveness here in the chapel before in terms of what it means, that a lot of us have a difficult time with embracing true forgiveness. Because I know I ask myself this question, God, how can you forgive someone like me? And perhaps you ask that same question. God, how can you forgive someone like me? And I ask that question of myself because I have a pretty good memory. And unfortunately, I remember the wrong things that I've done more than I remember the good things that I have done. And the other day I was thinking about something that happened a long time ago, and now that I have crossed over the 60 mark and I'm looking down on the downward side there, it was a long time ago. And I thought to myself, you know what? God has forgiven me for that. Why am I even thinking about something that I have done a long time ago in which I know that God has forgiven me? And in the eyes of God, what I did is no longer held against me because of what Christ has done for me. In our bulletin, we have the prayer to receive Jesus Christ as Savior. And I think it's important for us to have it there because it is a reminder to me, and I believe it should be a reminder for you as well, that we have embraced the truth of Jesus Christ for our lives, and that He does forgive us, and that He does take the sin that we have done, and He takes it away. It no longer should be a burden for me. Should no longer be held accountable to me because of what Christ has done on Calvary. But we have a responsibility when we embrace forgiveness, the forgiveness that can only come from the cross. We have a responsibility to carry on the whole meaning of forgiveness in our lives. And that is a difficult task. Because whether the things are big or whether the things are small, we just seem to have a hard time to be able to forgive others when they have wronged us or when they have violated our own principles about certain things. But yet God says that we are to forgive them because in the same way we have been forgiven. And when we say the Lord's Prayer in worship, it is a reminder to us that as you have forgiven us our trespasses, our sins, that we are to forgive others. It's a personal practice in which you and I need to apply every day of our lives. I've been praying about certain things within my own life and things that I have been struggling with, and I've asked God, Lord, please help me to understand and to apply the forgiveness that you want me to apply. Help me to see people the way that you want me to see them, not how I see them. And I know one of the difficulties that I have, and perhaps yourself, when I know people around me in my life and I know the history of many of them, sometimes when they try to do good things, there is always that suspect mentality that I have because I know about them. I know their history. And it reminds me when Jesus said that a prophet is without honor in his own home. And I think a lot of times because we know people in our lives so well and we see them trying to act good, perhaps we don't say this, but perhaps maybe we think it, you hypocrite. But then I always have to remind myself that anytime I think of that, I think about the times when I have been the hypocrite. For you see, when you and I truly embrace the forgiveness of the cross and we truly rejoice on this happy Resurrection Sunday, the word hypocrite should not be in our vocabulary because of what Christ has done for us, either for you or for someone else. And God wants us to embrace that. He wants us to come and understand that. He wants us to follow His example. You know, it's been described to me that sin can be defined as missing the mark. Missing the mark. And for those of us that have served in the military, we know what it's like to be on the rifle range and to miss the mark. To miss the target. I don't know about you, but I am proud to say that when I went through basic training, that I qualified as an expert with my M16. And in the same way, God wants us to qualify on the range of life as an expert. But yet you and I know that it takes practice to shoot the M16 properly and correctly. You have to be able to squeeze the trigger, to hold your breath, to do those things in which your drill instructor told you to do so you can shoot it properly. In life, God gives us the instructions that He wants us to have to execute as expert marksmen, to sin less, and to hit the target more in terms of how we are living for God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And perhaps we need to look at it in that way, that when we sin, when we have missed the mark, God tells us to recorrect our sights, whether it's the front sight or the back sight, to recorrect our sights and to try again and not to give up, but to see the mark, the target that you and I are striving for, the cross of Jesus Christ, the love that God wants us to show to each other, the forgiveness that He wants to show to each other, and that we keep on being on the firing line. We do not give up. We continuously practice in our lives to hit the mark, to be an expert in our relationship with God. Do those things that we need to do those things that honor God, that reflect a holy and a righteous living. But yet I have missed the mark many times this week. I have missed the mark already this morning. And I needed to take a step back and to exercise the forgiveness, to readjust my sights in terms of what I am aiming at in my life. And perhaps you are the same way. That means when we think about missing the mark, God says, you know what? Because of what Christ has done for you on the cross, you and I wear the cross of Christ in our lives. For you see, Christ gives us the opportunity to live in the freedom and the liberty in which He wants us to live, so we can be embracing the good things that God has given us. In fact, my wife decided at her place of work that she was going to put a chart up reminding her of all the good things that she does for the people that are around her. Because a lot of times we look at our lives and we say how many times we've blown it, how many times we have missed the mark. How many times have you done it right? How many times have you followed the word of the Lord and you've done things correctly? You have hit the target. You did not miss the mark. You did not sin. You were able to practice forgiveness. You were able to practice Christ's love. It doesn't mean that we are perfect. But what it does mean, and what it does reflect, is the fact that God has been working in your life and you notice the change. You notice the different attitudes that you have towards people and a way in which you see them in a good light. In a way you see them the way that God sees them. Because God sees us all the same. For Christ died on the cross for all of us. Because the scriptures tell us, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whomsoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And that means Christ died for everybody, not just for a select few. But yet we seem to be missing the mark in understanding that. Perhaps there might have been a circumstance, or there might be a circumstance that you're going through right now in which maybe you just feel alienated from God, that you just can't seem to get it right. I want to say to you that in the situations when I have felt that way. I know that there is hope for me because of what Christ has done for me on the cross. And I've mentioned before, hope needs to have a plan. So if you are challenged with something, or if you're trying to overcome something in your life that has just been weighing you down, where you know you missed the mark, and God says, you know what, you need to readjust your thinking, you need to readjust your attitude, you need to readjust the things that you're doing in your life so you no longer miss the mark. That requires us to have a plan. I don't know what your plan is, but one of the things I do is I remind myself that God always wants me to be on target and not to do those things that take away from my relationship with Him. Because when I do those things, not only does it take away my relationship with God, but it takes away from the relationship that I can have with the people that are in my life. And my plan is to let myself know that when I am in certain situations, when I feel that I'm going to miss the mark, to do those things that I know that honor God and not myself. Because when I think about those times when I've missed the mark, it's because I wanted to take control of a specific situation. I wanted to be the one that did a certain thing. But living for Jesus in a life that is true requires us to step back and to allow God to intervene and to take care of those situations. We need to step back, and the selfishness of us in terms of who we are, we need to take a step back. And we need to say, God, you need to handle this situation because I can't handle it on my own. And then we see in our lives a pattern develop in which you and I no longer are missing the mark as much as we used to before, because we're allowing God to be in control of our lives. We're carrying out the way that God wants us to live. We're carrying out, as we interact with others, the way that God wants us to do those things that bring Him honor and holiness and righteousness. And when we remember the past and think about the times that we have missed the mark, the Holy Spirit reminds us that the correction has already been made, and that you are now on target because of your relationship that you have with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. You are the expert marksman that God wants you to be in your life. Not because of anything that you and I have done, but because of what Christ has done for us on the cross. Through His life, through His crucifixion, through His death, through His resurrection, and through His ascension. That reminds us that we have something also to look forward to when we come to know Christ in a very personal way, one-on-one, when we are with Him, as we partake of that eternal life that He has promised to each and every one of us that know Him. So it is my hope and prayer that on this Resurrection Sunday, that not only are we happy about it, not only do we rejoice in the fact that Christ has risen, and the response is He has risen indeed, but there's a joy in our hearts that reflects the true aim that we have as followers of Jesus Christ, the true disciples that God wants us to be, and make those corrections that God wants us to make. So every morning when we get up, we can be on target and walk with the Lord the way that He wants us to walk with Him, to have that peace that passes our own understanding, because it can only come from the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Amen. We're going to take communion this morning, and if you've never had communion here in the chapel before, we practice open communion. And what that means is if you have professed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're welcome to take communion with us. Let us pray. Gracious God, what a wonderful time to honor you by having communion as one body of believers in your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, we would ask, Lord, that you would just forgive us when we have sinned, when we have missed the mark, when we did not set our sights on you the way that you want us to set them, but instead we set our sights on ourselves and the things that we thought that we could accomplish on our own without your help. God, forgive us for not using that power in our lives that you give us, for not using that understanding that you give us, for not using the peace that you give us when we look to you. And God, we are doing that right now. We are looking to the cross. We are praising you. We are thanking you. And Lord, we are taking that forgiveness that you give us, and we are incorporated into our lives so that we can go forward with you in all things. Thank you, God, for forgiving us of our sins and loving us just the way we are. In Christ's name, amen. I receive from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us partake together. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let us partake together. Our closing hymn this morning is number 325, "Crown Him with Many Crowns." Hymn number 325, "Crown Him with Many Crowns."
Crown him with many crowns, a lamb upon his throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns. the potentate of time, creator of the Holy Spirit, infallibly sublime. All hail, Redeemer, hail, for you have died for me. Your praise and glory shall not fail throughout eternity.
Let us pray. Our gracious God, Lord, we would just ask that you would help us make the mark and not miss it every time, that you would be in control of all that we do, so that we can give you the honor and glory that you deserve. Thank you, God, for this wonderful Resurrection Sunday, and we praise you for your forgiveness of our sins. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding be with you now and forevermore. Amen. Thank you for coming. Well, good morning. It is wonderful to have you all here with me this morning. We begin our services by singing the doxology, which is found in the red hymnal number 549. The doxology, hymn number 549.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Our call to worship is hymn number 677. Shout to the Lord, O earth. Work for the Lord with gladness, and enter His presence with singing. Understand that the Lord is God. We are His, for He made us His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with confession, His courtyards with praise. Confess Him and honor His name. The Lord is good. His kindness endures. His faithfulness never ends. Amen. Our first hymn this morning is number 445, It's More About Jesus I Would Know. Hymn number 445, More About Jesus I Would Know. Thank you. That you brought us here together this morning to worship you here in this chapel. And God, we do not take this opportunity that we have for granted. And Lord, we are just so thankful that you've provided this opportunity through the different sacrifices of the veterans of this nation who have served in peace and in war to give us this opportunity to freely worship as we choose. And Lord, we also think of the families that they too have made the same sacrifice with our veterans as they have served our nation through them in peace and in war as well. And Lord, as we come before you with the needs and requests that we have in our lives and the challenges that we are facing, your will that we desire to follow, God, we also think about others, not only of ourselves, but we think of family members and of friends. We think of the patients throughout this medical center, the staff that is working here today, and Lord, the family members that will be coming to visit. Lord, we lift them up to you in prayer as well. And in the same way as we pray for ourselves, Lord, we also are praying for them, that you would minister to their needs, that they would be able to face the challenges, and that you would go with them in spirit and in truth, so they can face those challenges and go through those valleys of ups and downs as we do as well. And Lord, we just want to bless you once again and praise you for this time. And we are so thankful that you taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you for praying with me. Please be seated. Our next hymn this morning is Open My Eyes That I May See. Hymn number 431, Open My Eyes That I May See. Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth that hast for me. Place in my hands that wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me, Spirit divine. Open my ears that I may hear voices of truth thou sendest clear. And while the wave notes fall on my ear, everything false will disappear. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me, Spirit divine. Open my mouth and let me hear gladly the warm truth everywhere. Open my heart and let me prepare love with thy children thus to share. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, I will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me, Spirit divine. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Philippians, chapter 4, beginning with verse 6. Do not worry about anything, but in everything through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses every thought, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any moral excellence, and if there is any praise, dwell on these things. Do what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious God, once again, Lord, we just want to praise you and thank you for the time that we've had in worship, for the prayers that we have said together, for the hymns that we have sung together. And Lord, I would just ask that you would just help me continue that praise as we desire to worship you in all things. Help me now, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen. A couple of weeks ago, I was serving in a state where I serve as a chaplain, and we had our National Day of Prayer Breakfast. And the theme of that prayer breakfast was Seeds of Peace. And we had various prayers from different faith groups, and our guest speaker talked about the seeds of peace that he was able to plant through the different things that he does in terms of the music. He's a concert pianist, and he was sharing with us at the breakfast the different things that he's been able to do to help bring peace in different parts of the world that need it through his music. So the question I want to ask you and me this morning is, what do we do to see and have seeds of peace? Is it something that we are in search of? And I believe each and every one of us, if we would answer that question, I would say, yes, we are in search of peace in our lives in some form or fashion. And many times the peace can come at the most difficult times in our lives, because that seems to be where we need the most peace. When things are not going right, when we are facing challenges that seem to be insurmountable. But God wants us to give us that peace. And when we closed with the scripture that we have just read, it says, the God of peace will be with you. Not the God of conflict, not the God of evil, not the God of bad, but the God of peace will be with you. So you and I, as we follow Jesus Christ within our own daily lives, our objective should be, as we are following Christ, in search of that peace, that the only way that we can have that peace from God the Father is understanding more about our relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But yet I want to read something to you that came from a book called Tears in the Darkness, and it specifically talks about dealing with what happened to those prisoners that was captured in the Philippines. They did the road march to Bataan, the years that they spent as prisoners of war, the different traumatic events and experiences that they had. So let me read you something I think that gives us a perspective of when God is challenging us the most, or when we feel things are at its worst, that we can find peace. In the weeks that followed, as the survivors finally came to their senses, they began to count their great good luck. For every one of them, three had died. What but luck could explain that? There was no accounting for the sadness, of course, the emptiness that always follows the euphoria of luck. Almost every man had lost a buddy, a friend for the road. And they could not shake the feeling that their lives there had great good luck had somehow been purchased at someone else's expense. To a man, they also remembered a voice. When the bedlam was at its height, when men were screaming and moaning and begging for their lives, Father William T. Cummings, the Marian old priest who in Billy Bid had read Ben Steele, The Last Rites, would make his way into the middle of the hold of the prison ship that they were traveling on from the Philippines to Japan and shout to be heard. Listen to me, he would yell. You must listen to me. Then in a clear but calming voice, he would recite a prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. He recited that same even song every night, a prayer for the living, a prayer of thanks, a prayer for the dead. The priest ministered to anyone who needed him, and almost everyone did. In a month, he recited more last rites than most padres offer in a year of combat, then berated himself openly for not being able to hold the hand and ease the dying angst of every man in the ship who needed him. "Father, please pray for me," they begged. "Or baptize me, Father. I don't want to die without being baptized." He was a short, thin man, 41 years old, in constant pain from an old back injury that had required spinal fusion. He had chronic asthma as well, and the closed air in the holds of the ship must have been torturing him. Nothing, however, seemed to slow his ministrations. He played medic as well as priest, crawling over and across men to get the worst of the wrenches in the back of the holds. To some men, Cummings' soft incantations were humming whispers, Sidney Steele called them. Sounded like the voice of God to others. It was the voice of faith or a friend. Each night he tried to take his rice meal with a different circle of men. One night he talked of his days in Manila before the war. He liked working with indigent street children, and he said if he survived, he planned to continue the same kind of missionary work in Tokyo. "Those people are hopeless," one of the men said. Cummings came back, "No, my son, no one is helpless." Bill Cummings died on a Sunday in the hold of the Brazil Maru, 2 days short of making port at Moji. I share that story with you because it is a true story. And I think it's something that we can all relate to in terms of what do we do and where do we go when life is at its worst for us. Spiritually, physically, emotionally. And here the words of one prayer provided the seeds of peace. Because every man in this situation, every man that was in the hold of this prison ship as it was going from the Philippines to Japan, needed some type of peace. And those words from that prayer that we all know provided that peace. So what are we looking for when we think about peace? Do we truly understand what it means for us to have peace? And as we talked about before, we seem to need peace when life is at its worst for us. And I think all of us are trying to find that peace of mind, that comfort in knowing that even when things are at its worst, all is right with myself, with my world, with my God. And we can only find that peace in our commitment, in our relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. How do we find that peace? Is it something that we can produce? Is it something that we can generate? Is it something that we can truly experience? As we read this account of what was taking place offered by this priest, this chaplain on the whole of this prison ship, what about within our own lives? Do we find ourselves at times in a hold of a prison ship that we have created ourselves? With the pain and the agony and the hunger and the thirsting, because of the circumstances that we find ourselves in. We are reminded again and again in the Scriptures that we have been set free in our relationship with Christ. We have been given the freedom that God wants us to have in our daily lives, that no matter what we are experiencing, no matter what the turmoil might be, God is always with us by our side. And yes, we have questions about our suffering. Not only just our suffering, but the suffering of others. And this is an example that we saw as these men were aboard this prison ship. They had their questions as well. But this one person, this one chaplain, this one priest was trying to provide at least some of those answers to those questions. Not all of them. Trying to find comfort, trying to provide some type of solace, trying to provide some type of peace. Do you and I have the strength and courage to do what this chaplain did, to do what this priest did? Because even that, they knew that he was dying, but yet he continued to be and serve others. In fact, one of the accounts that I've read about him said that his last words, he was reciting the prayer that we just read together in the hold of the ship, and his last words were, "Give us," before he died. Give us. Give us. Give us. And I think a lot of times that is our own individual prayers. Give us, God, that peace that we need to have. Give us that forgiveness that we need to understand and incorporate in our lives. Because it is only then that we are set free from the prisons that we have created within our own lives to live in freedom, to understand truly what spiritual freedom is. And it is that peace of mind that you and I think, all want to have. The peace of mind that says, you know what? I'm no longer feeling the stress that I once had. All of us go through daily lives with some form of stress. And they say some stress is good for us. Too much stress is bad for us. But I think there's a process there that as we get on track with God spiritually, as we get on the right path, as we get on the right road and begin to follow the direction that God wants us to have, we see that the stress in our lives is something that we can handle. But the peace of mind that God wants us to have should be one in which we know that it is not creating stress in our lives. The things that we are doing that gives us that peace, that gives us that tranquility that we want to have, should not be producing for us any type of stress. And I think if we look at our relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ, that is a relationship that is producing the right peace of mind that all of us want to have. Within that same peace of mind, as we search for that peace, that all of a sudden we don't seem to be as angry as we were before. Yeah, we still get annoyed and we still get upset about things. We still see injustices in the world that we want to change. But it's a different type of anger in terms of what we're trying to do. We are not hostile in a bad sense of the word. Angry at myself. Angry at the people that are around me. Angry about my circumstances. We see it from a different perspective. We see it from the peace of mind that God has created within you and within me because of the relationship that we have with God. The peace of God that provides for us the things the way it should be. And once again, as we've talked about here in the chapel again and again and again, we are not talking about perfection, because as long as you and I are involved in the process, it will never be perfect. But that should always be our goal, our desire. I don't think any of us have a perfect day. We have a better day than maybe the day before. But yet we know that there are times when we experience things that upset us. All we have to do is turn on the TV or look at social media, and instantaneously our emotions get involved in things that are happening around the world. But God tells us, I want you to have that tranquility, because He is the God of peace. The God of peace for you and for me. And it is a gift that He has given to us freely. Just as much as this chaplain, this priest, and the whole of the ship was expressing the gift spiritually the best way that he could do it, by a prayer for all that were there. In the same way, we see what God has done for us on the cross through His Son, Jesus Christ, to give us that peace as a gift. The gift that we just need to accept. The gift that truly gives us that key that sets us free. That sets us free. And in that freedom, we see that the work of God is in our lives through the presence of the Holy Spirit. Through that part of the Trinity that is always with us, always walking by our side, that never leaves us, that never forsakes us. And then we see in that peace that we want to have, we begin to experience it in a different way that we never thought possible. And then when we find ourselves in circumstances and in places where we seem to be in a direction where we might find ourselves in prison again because of the things that are around us, we say, no, I'm not going to go there. I've been there before. I don't want to go there again. Because God has given me the peace of mind that I want to have. And I don't want to change that peace of mind. I don't want to change the gift that God has given me. I want to continue to be set free in my life. I continue to want to experience it. So I'm not going to go back there again. I'm not going to go back to those things that so easily made me a prisoner. A prisoner in my life that I never want to be that again. And then we see as we experience God in our lives that the situations that we find, all of a sudden we see that God is working. And yes, we still have questions. We're still trying to figure out, God, how did all this happen and how did this circumstance become the way that it is? But yet as we are following peace, as we are in a search for peace, we see that it's going to be okay, regardless of what the outcome is going to be, because we have that assurance that God is always there with us. And then the things within the present moment, we just say, God, just give me the wisdom and the understanding and the discernment and the vision and the courage and the strength to say no when I need to say no, but also to say yes when I need to say yes. And then we see the peace of mind that we have been searching for. And as we encompass it, as we embrace it, we find ourselves rejoicing. Do you ever have those circumstances where everything just seemed to be right with the world and you just wanted to rejoice? You just wanted to celebrate? And we know we are on the right track when we rejoice in the Lord through those circumstances. When we find that peace that we are looking for. When we know that Everything in our lives is not perfect, and we have to put forth some effort. We have to work on some things. We have to have the hope, but hope also includes a plan many times and in our lives. The hope that we have in Jesus Christ, but also the desire that God wants us to sometimes maybe plan our steps, and God directs them. We just make that effort in faith to go forward with a plan. And God changes that plan, and we have to be willing to accept that and to understand that and to say, Lord, I'm rejoicing in these circumstances. I don't know why the answer is no, but God, you know what? I'm going to take that next step of faith because I have hope in you, but Lord, you've also given me a plan that I need to follow in my daily life, and I want to do that. And then as we experience those things that give us that peace of mind, we are able to handle those anxieties that we have, those emotions that at times seem to be so overwhelming, and they inundate us with doubt, they inundate us with fear, they inundate us with confusion. But God says, no, come back to me when you have those feelings, those thoughts. Because my relationship with you is not one of fear. Isn't that correct? The scriptures tell us that I do not give you a spirit of fear or of doubt. On the contrary, I give you the spirit of a sound mind. And we find that sound mind as we desire to have the peace of mind in our relationship with God. And then we see the things that we need to do to keep that peace of mind going and on track. It's not just a one-time event. It's not just a one-time experience. It's something that we have to work at daily to have. And many of us have different ways in which we can have that peace of mind daily. Some of it is through music. Some of it is through prayer. Some of it is through different things and how we study the Word of God. But each time we see that in that experience, it is something for us that is worshipful for us. Something that tells us about our relationship with God. Something that reveals within us a thankfulness, a blessing. As we sang earlier this morning, the things within our lives that we are to give praise to, that we are to be thankful for. And within those times of prayer, within those times of worship, whether it's listening to the music, whether it's reading the Word of God, whether it's that time of prayer, God guides us. God guides us in that process of the presence of His Holy Spirit in our lives. And then we begin to see more and more of the peace of God that truly does go beyond our own understanding and comprehension. Because then we see that peace of mind that God has for us. It actually protects us. It actually guards us from those circumstances that we are involved in, that we are a part of. And we are able to focus on those things that are essential, those things that are important, those things in which we put into practice within our daily lives because we desire to have that peace of mind. We no longer want to be in bondage. We no longer want to be on that prison ship going nowhere but to pain and misery. We want to be free. We want to live the life that God wants us to live in that freedom. And what's important in the scriptures here that we've read, that it is a promise to you and to me. It is a claim that you and I can reach out to. It provides us the actions that we need to do to have that peace of mind. That we need to focus on whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable. If there is any moral excellence, and if there is any praise, dwell on these things. Dwell on these things. Because when we dwell on the correct things within our own lives, we have the peace of mind that you and I are always searching for. So dwell on those things that keep you in the truth. Dwell and do those things that bring honor to your relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Do those things that are just. Do those things that are pure. Do those things that are lovely. Do those things that are commendable. Commendable. Do those things that honor you and your relationship with God. Do those things that truly do say who you are as a follower of Jesus Christ. So it is my hope and prayer that as we search for peace, that we do those things that God wants us to do. Do those right things that bring honor to God in all things. Amen. Let us take a few moments and prepare our hearts for communion. And we practice open communion, so if you know you have a relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ, you're welcome to take communion with us. Let us pray. Our gracious God, we are so thankful that you've given us this wonderful opportunity to worship you, to be at peace with you. But Lord, forgive us when we have created our own prison through our own desires, seeking what we wanted to have, and forsaking those things that you want us to be. And Lord, I would just ask that you would just forgive me. For God, I've done that. And Lord, I would ask that you would hear the prayers of all that are here that would want forgiveness as well for those things. And Lord, we are so thankful that you give us this opportunity just to publicly say to the world, I have a relationship with your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, God, for hearing our prayers and forgiving us of our sins and setting us free. In Christ's name, amen. What I received from the Lord, what I also passed on to you, The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us partake together. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let us partake together. Our closing hymn is number 422. I know not why God's wondrous grace. 422. I know not why God's wondrous grace to me he hath made known, nor why unworthy Christ in love redeemed me for his own. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not how this saving faith to me he did impart, nor how believing in his word brought peace within my heart. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not how the Spirit moves, convincing men of sin, revealing Jesus through the Word, creating faith in him. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not when my Lord might come, or night or noonday fair, nor if I walk the veil with him or meet him in the air. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Let us pray. Gracious God, we are so thankful that you've given us peace of mind through this time that we've had at worship. Lord, help us to hold on to it. Help us to cherish it. Help us, God, to do it every day. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding be with you now and forevermore. Amen. Thank you for coming.